John, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read. You can follow along with me the first 11 verses. John 12, 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Interesting. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, give us wisdom. Give us help from the Holy Spirit to understand your word and take it to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that anyone listening to my voice that is not saved, that they will get the conviction and become saved, take you as their Lord and Savior. And we ask that the rest of us, those that are saved, be blessed. Give me freedom and ease. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. What we have in John, as I've mentioned several times, is a real clear message on all the things that happened in the very last days of Jesus' life. And here it is, it's the last week. It's the last week of Jesus' life. And John is giving it to us. And I somehow feel that John is this a very evangelistic gospel. It is clearer on how salvation comes and what the blessing of the gospel is. And therefore, I think it's worth more and then some of the other places to read and study. At any rate, here we're going, the 6 days before the Passover, he comes to Bethany. Now, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary are good friends of Jesus. Not just converts, not just disciples, not just, they're good friends. They spent time together. And so Jesus has come, and you got a big guest. Why, they planned a big supper. Now look who would serve. Martha served. Martha's the cook. Martha's the servant. So Martha is the one that's doing for people all the time. And so she's got Jesus in there. Now what's Lazarus doing? Well, he's sitting down talking to Jesus. He's sitting at the table just like all the other guests that are there. That's her brother. And then you're going to look at Mary and watch what she does. She worships. Isn't that amazing? They sort of follow the personality that they have as you read about them. If you study about these three people that were friends of Jesus, this is the way that it went most of the time. Now, they made him a supper. I don't know how many people they had in the house. I don't know if it was their house. I don't know what sort of condition they were in. They may have been well-off people. I really don't know. Don't know what Lazarus did for a living. We come to this place right here, and they got him a supper. So they've got guests to this supper. And now the people, well, they wanted to meet Jesus. And if you had read Lazarus' story, or if you had been a friend of Lazarus and known Lazarus, maybe you went to his funeral, and then you saw he's resurrected from the dead. That would catch my attention. Now, I guarantee you, that's you know, I've seen some of these shows of healings and different things like that. And sometimes they're just not clear to me that they really were in trouble or that they're not putting it on, faking it to get money. I went to one of them one time, and they had big buckets like the chicken buckets, you know, that you get for the family meal. They passed them four times because they didn't get enough money, they said. They had a huge crowd under a big tent. And I got to thinking, they're not here for anything but money. And so I have sometimes a doubt in my mind. You didn't have any doubt with Lazarus. I mean, if you knew him and you saw him dead, you walked by and looked at him before they wound him up and put him in the grave. And then you come back 4 days later and Jesus has resurrected him from the dead. And he's here a week or so later, maybe even further than that. He's sitting down at table with the Lord Jesus Christ eating food. It's like that guy that sat by the temple for 40 years, crippled man, and begged. And when they healed him, he jumped up and ran and his legs were straightened. Wow, if you'd seen him for 40 years sitting front there as you went to the temple and he's begging for 40 years, he couldn't have anything else he can do to help to his family at all. But there he is there begging. Why? And all of a sudden he picks up, walks, runs, jumps, screams. I'd be shouting. Amen. You think I'm loud now? You ought to hear me then. Isn't that right? Yeah. Absolutely. Well, here we've got an absolute resurrection from the dead. How's that? That's a miracle. Amen. That's something you can look at and say, wow, this man does have power. Well, this is 6 days before the Passover, and they're having this supper, and Martha's serving, and I can just see her, because some of you women are servants. You bless your heart, you just take care of everything. Come back, would you have some more? How about having a little of this? Oh, we've made cake. We made your favorite cake, Lyndall. Yes, ma'am. Nelda used to do me that way. When we'd have dinner on the ground, she'd come by and say, I made your cake, Lyndall. You know what I did then? I went and got in the dessert line first and got my cake before you ever got a chance to get to it. Because if I waited, I wouldn't get my piece, and Nelda made it for me. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's nice. Some people are very much servant people, and I thank the Lord for them. I thank the Lord that there's some people that want to be nurses. And people that want to be doctors and people that want to drive ambulances. And we got a lot of sweet, sweet people. I thank the Lord for really good teachers. Amen. 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 And I'll tell you what, we're losing teachers. You know why? Good teachers are quitting because the discipline is not in the schools anymore. A teacher can't lay a hand on a kid without looking at a lawsuit. It's not right. I had parents come to school and thank me for spanking their kids. I only had one man that came up there to whip me. And he didn't understand the situation, and the principal caught him in the early time and brought in every other teacher he had before he got to me. By the time he called me in there, it was a meek lamb that I was talking to. And when he walked out with his boy, they suspended him for 3 days. As he got down the steps to the front of the school, he jumped up and kicked his son in the rump. He was very, very embarrassed. But we've got a problem today. We got a problem as Billy was talking the other night. We're making laws that defy God's will. And killing little babies is not good birth control. And that's the way a whole lot of it is. It's not to save the mother's life. It's not from other reasons or rape or anything like that. It's birth control because you got lazy and didn't use it or whatever. But at any rate, we're making laws in this land that defy what God has said and what people have known as right for generations. And we're going to suffer for it. I don't think you can go against God and not pay a price. And I love this country. I'm a patriot. I'm a veteran and I'm a soldier, or was a soldier. I thank the Lord that the freedom that I was raised in. I thank the Lord for the country living and the being born in Texas and being born to some people who didn't have any money at the time, bless their hearts. They didn't want another baby, but they didn't abort me. They let me come along and I got loved. In spite of being extra cost, I got loved. That's a beautiful thing, you know? I do thank the Lord for America. I thank the Lord for Texas. I thank the Lord for automobiles. I'm glad I didn't have to ride horses. My daddy, he went from horse and buggy days to men walking on the moon. He had some things to see in his generation. Anyway, they made him a supper and Martha served. Thank the Lord for all you servants. Now Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Now I like that. I like being in Lazarus' position. I love sitting at the table and getting a good dinner. I love being served. That's a wonderful thing to be served. You know that? My wife deserted me. Gonna be 8 years. She went to heaven. Left me alone to run around with you. But that means I got to get up and get everything in my kitchen when I want to eat. I got to cook it or not cook it. I got to heat it or not heat it. I got to walk around on this old ankle that's all bad. And it's amazing how many times I get to the table and forget what I was supposed to have gotten. That means I got to get up and walk over and get it right there. Yeah, I was spoiled rotten. I went directly from my mother to my wife. So I never was a bachelor until about almost 8 years ago. At any rate, that was Martha. Lazarus was one of them sitting at the table, and I'm sort of with him. Then took Mary. Now here's the worship. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. Are you thinking about what I'm thinking? They didn't have bank accounts. The average person that lived in the world at this time had no bank account. They couldn't just write a check. They didn't have anything, credit cards. I didn't get a credit card until I graduated from college with my bachelor's degree, and then I got a gas credit card mailed to me in the mail. You know something? They had a problem keeping anything they had. By the way, there was no retirement. There was no Social Security. There weren't any organizations to feed the poor. You were in a family, or if you weren't in a family, you were in trouble. If you were in a family, the family took care of its own. Here we have Mary, and you know what I think that pound of ointment was? I think that was her retirement. I think that was her savings. If you read any about history in the Middle Ages or whatever, you would read about a certain phenomenon of people having diamonds, rubies, jewels, and them sewing them into their coats or their dresses or their belts or something. They had no place to protect their things. They could be robbed quite easily. Not like you got it in the bank and you don't have it right there, so they can't get it from you, and you don't have to carry everything on in cash. And if you travel across country, you don't necessarily have to have, you've got a credit card or you've got traveler's checks or whatever. They didn't have anything like that. So if a person was going to be taken care of later on in life when they got older, they had to put away some things early, you understand. And if you were smart, you put something away, no matter how little you took in. I think this is what Mary had done with this. She had gathered this, maybe a little at a time, until she had a pound of spikenard. Very costly. Now, where did she put it? She didn't put it on Jesus' head. She put it on his feet. What's the dirtiest thing that you know? Your feet. They went barefooted. When I went to Guatemala as a missionary, 7 out of 10 people went without shoes. And their feet, they were small, smallish people, but they had big feet. And those feet had calluses on them that they could walk right over pavement, they could walk over rocks and stickers and whatever, and not hardly get hurt. A lot of people from the States thought it was a terrible thing that they didn't have shoes, so they gave them shoes and sent shoes by the millions into Guatemala. Well, when the shoes wore out, they didn't have money to buy other shoes. So then they had to take those softened feet and go back out on the pavement again and the rocks again. It wasn't exactly the help that the people that gave it thought it ought to be. Well, I remember I grew up barefooted. I could run over gravel and asphalt and sidewalks barefooted. In fact, I'll tell you about my great football career. In junior high school, I went to Burbank. Now, we actually won our section, and we played in the Alamo Stadium for the city championship in the 7th or 8th grade. Only two people on my football team had tennis shoes. The rest of the football people, a football team, about 33 of us, were barefooted. And we played in Alamo Stadium for the city championship with three different colors of orange jerseys. And only two people with shoes. The rest of us barefooted, no face mask. You could smash a guy's nose all over his face. Now, we played Horace Mann. It was from a rich side of town. They come out with brand new jerseys, brand new uniforms, and cleats. They still didn't have face masks, and that was to their detriment. We lost 28 to nothing. What a tragedy. But we had a fun game. We really did. You see, poor people that don't have a lot of things that you and I just take for granted, like a bank account, a credit card, a savings, maybe a retirement. When you're going to go look at your job, you want to know what kind of retirement things they're going to have for you, whether or not you're going to be taken care of when you get old. No. When you got old, it was your family took care of you or killed you, one or the other. You didn't hire people to come in and take care of them, and you certainly couldn't put them in a hospital and pay the hospital fees day after day after day. Different place, and I think this ointment was her guarantee, her putback that she had done maybe over a period of time to take care of herself when the time came. It was like a savings account for her. Well, it says she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. What is a woman's glory? Her hair. That's why women wear long hair. I don't understand men with long hair, but then that's just my generation, I guess. As you see, hair is not a problem for me. It doesn't bother me at all. She wiped his feet with her hair. I would say that's worship. I believe she really loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She took her glory and cleaned up his dirty feet. His feet, Jesus, the Lord of heaven, Jesus walked in dirt and had dirty feet. He had to have somebody clean his feet. He had to clean them, or somebody did. Generally, the slave in the house that was the least high slave, maybe the poorest, was the one that did the foot washing. Well, here's Mary, who has many times just sat at the feet of Jesus when Martha is serving, something doing something else. She wanted to hear the spiritual things. She wanted to understand the doctrine. She loved him and knew she was loved by him. She sat at his feet. And I think that's exactly what was happening here. How much do you love Jesus? Amen. That's an interesting question. It'd be pretty hard to answer. Except maybe to look at our lives and what we do. How much of him do you want to know? How well do you follow him? What's your concern in your life? You know what? If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, it would change your life. Absolutely. Amen. I loved Verlene. Changed my life. Yeah. She loved me. Changed her life. I think I got the better deal. But a wonderful girl. She did not know how to cook when we got married. She could burn water. My mother taught her in the 2 weeks we lived looking for an apartment. So I got fed just like my mother fed me. I got fed the rest of my life. Because my mother taught her how to cook in 2 weeks' time. And she did a good job. Bless her heart. She was also had somewhat of a servant attitude. I got a milk job at a milk route, getting up at 2:30 in the morning, leaving at 2:30. I got up at 2 and went and got my truck loaded. And by 6 o'clock in the morning, I was going in the back door of houses in refrigerators and putting milk and cheese and whatever else up until about 2 in the afternoon. But it was a very good job. Worked 6 days a week. No days off. No insurance. No anything. But a good salary. Had a good salary. Verlene, on my first day of going out to that milk route, got up at 2 a.m. and wanted to fix me breakfast. I couldn't eat breakfast at 2 a.m. And I told her, no. You sleep. You stay in the bed. Don't get up and anticipate me. And she never did again. But I didn't want her again. I didn't want to eat at that hour. In fact, I didn't eat until about 8 o'clock in the morning. I would run my route up into a place out off of Austin Highway, and there was a nice restaurant there. And I would drink a gallon of chocolate milk and a gallon of orange juice. I had them sitting right by me. And then I'd walk into the houses and out of the houses, and I ran most of the time. Enjoyed the milk route, I really did. It was a lot of work, but it got me money to pay off my car and things like that. We were making good money for us poor kids in those days. But now, you know, she wiped his feet with her hair. She anointed the feet of Jesus, did not anoint his head, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. She took a lowly place in front of Jesus. How easy is it for you to take a lowly place in front of anybody? Boy, that's hard for all of us. Take a lowly place? Will you do the menial tasks? Would you, for Jesus, do that for somebody else? Would you take care of them? Would you clean them? Would you bathe them? Would you feed them? Would you wipe their feet? Well, that's what she did. It's a beautiful story as I understand it. It's been a blessing to me for a long time in my life. Here she is. She's anointing with not just water. I mean perfume. I don't understand. I don't wear hardly any perfume at all in any way. And I see costly perfumes. They're advertised on television sometimes, or you can go in some of these stores and the price is ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather you'd smell my sweat. Sorry about that, but I'm telling the truth. I mean, me going to pay $1,000 for a little vial of stinky stuff? Really? I'm really allergic to a lot of things. Everything under the sun. For 40 or 50 years, I stood at that back door of every church. People coming in, going out. I shook their hands both ways. And some of you ladies would come in and you would lay your cheek against mine. Yeah, Brother Lindell, you know, right there. And that thing would burn all day. I was allergic to it. Some of those things I didn't like too much. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. There was somebody that could walk in 20 feet away from me and I'd smell you. So I know that ointments are very valuable to a lot of people. Hey, by the way, some of the men were the same way. The men come walking in and man, their odor was everywhere, you know. They had a distinctive one, you understand. Anyway, that's just my clowning about this thing right here. A pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Nobody in that room but Jesus and maybe Mary knew what he was doing. Here's old Judas. Now, Judas was the treasurer of Jesus' treasury. And he said, why was not this ointment, look at verse 5, sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, he's giving you a value. 300 pence is a year's salary. A penny a day is what they paid in several of the stories of the Lord Jesus. That penny represented a day's wage. If this ointment was as Judas judged, and since Judas was a thief, I'm betting he was pretty close. £300, give it to the poor. And here's what John said about this later on when he's writing this book. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. I taught for 20 years in the public schools, and I will almost testify that in every class of 30 kids, one of them's a thief. I had this one little boy, and he's sitting right in front of my desk, and I came back from Guatemala and got a teaching job, and I'm down there, and I bought me a bunch of pencils and a bunch of pens, and I set them on my desk, and he wasn't in any time, no time at all, my pens were all gone. And I knew who the little boy was that got them. So then I had to take my pens and pencils and lock them in my locker I had, you know, pull them out when I needed them. He was a thief. He knew the value of certain things, what money he could get for certain things. He was a thief, and he had the bag. In the last month or two, I have heard about two different churches right here in San Antonio where hundreds of thousands of dollars are missing, and they're looking to the treasurers. Where there's money, that's a temptation to a thief. They'll do it in just giving you change at any one of the food places. Happened to me this week that way. You know something? And many times it's nothing you can do about it. Nobody would believe you anyway, whatever. But there are thieves around out there. And those thieves, they know where the money is. And they know how to get into a building. And they know how to find certain things. They know where things are hidden. That's why if you read about any time in the Dark Ages, some of those thieves knew about those jewels that were sewn into the coats and clothes of the travelers, and so they would go through them and catch them. Then said Jesus, this is verse 7, a tremendous verse, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this? Lazarus was true to his friendship. Martha was true to her servants' service. Mary was true to her worship. And here's Jesus announcing his death. Let her alone. Well, you know, I'm teaching this. I don't know how many times I've taught it. Wow. How much do I love the Lord? What will I give to the Lord?
Amen.
How much can I give to the Lord? And you know something? It's an amazing thing. If you want treasure in heaven, you got to send it first here. Now, if I've got money in my house, then it's liable to be stolen. It might even be stolen by those who take care of me. How many old people lose their money because of the people that are serving them, what looks like a lot of good people, and yet they find that money and they steal it. It's called elder abuse. How many thugs on the road to people who have a social security check, which is not enough to live on anyway, and they go out and cash a social security check, and some thug comes up and robs and steals from an old man or an old woman. I think the death penalty ought to apply to a lot of people. They're sorry people. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying. You know what he's doing? He sees his burying 1 week away, maybe. Last few days of his life. She's anointing me beforehand. She's laid down and given him her savings. Her value in financial things. Something that she could keep and it would maintain its value and provide for her maybe in her old age. But she gave it to Jesus. And you and I are telling the story. Right now. We got that story. Here's somebody that loved the Lord. Amen. Here's somebody that was spiritual. Remember her sister coming and complaining about her? Her sister said, don't, Lord, why don't you make Mary come work with me? And Lord's said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. Mary hath chosen what? The better part. She had the better part. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus just taking it all in. Martha's sweating. Hair's hanging out a little bit. She's running around. Do you need more of this and more of that? And that's a wonderful thing to do. What, where would we be without some servants? And some service of ourselves to the ones that we love. And yet, is there a better part? Yes, when it comes to spiritual things, the spiritual is always better. Always. Amen. You get close to God, that's a blessing in itself. Amen. God gets close to you, He knows your name. Amen. He knows your heart. Amen. He wants to use you, He wants to bless you. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. Have you ever figured that out? God wants to bless you. I ran from that blessing for a long time as a young man. Because I was 20 when I really got saved. I was a member of the church. I'd been sprinkled and immersed. I'd confessed Christ a time or two, but boy, it wasn't until I was 20 that the Lord changed my life. And wow, that made a difference in my life. I don't know about you, but if you haven't been changed, I would question my salvation. And nobody can tell but you. I couldn't tell. I can witness to somebody, and I personally feel more like an evangelist than I do a pastor many times. That's been the burden of my heart from the time I first got saved, is make it plain so those people understand how they can be saved. Pray for the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts. And that religion doesn't do it. Religion generally teaches you something. You think that if you do so many things that God will bless you. He will pay you back, so to speak. God is giving. God is blessing people and that don't deserve it, and much more than they deserve. I don't deserve all the blessings I've received, but I've received blessings, and I thank God for them all the time. Against the day of my burying as she kept this. Hey, what does he say in verse 8? The poor are always with you. Anytime you want to help a poor person, there's a real opportunity. There are poor people all around you. Poor people that need a job. Poor people that need some help. Poor people that need some direction. And then there's all sorts of organizations. I tell you what, there are plenty of organizations that want to get your money so they can give to the poor, supposedly, and I hope they all do. But I tell you what, America is full of them. And if you ever answer one with a check with your address on it, you'll get 10 different people that never heard of you or you never heard of. To write you and tell you that they have. And they're probably good people. Now, we've got a bunch of wonderful giveaways in this country. But they're also shysters. Don't listen to everybody on the telephone. I answer the phone. And by the way, they call my number big time. I don't know about you. I don't like 30 calls in the day and then I hear blip. You ever heard that little blip? You get the phone, you bring it up, and it's, hello, blip. And then they start talking to me. Well, I'm talking to a stupid machine. And I just say, blip. The poor you always have. You don't have me always. Now look at verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Would you go to see Lazarus? I would. Yes, Lazarus has made a celebrity all of a sudden that he had no idea that he was ever going to be a celebrity like what he is right now. Even today, he would be an overnight celebrity. Look at verse 10. Now here's something. Now these are very religious people. They are leaders of the religious people, the Jewish people. The chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Not only kill Jesus, kill Lazarus too, because too many people were believing on him. I mean, he's walking around a living proof that the dead can rise. And that Jesus had something to do with it. You might ought to pay attention to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you what, it's the best, biggest, toughest, most powerful name ever loved. Amen. Do you love him?
Yes.
They thought about putting Lazarus also to death. Now that's murder. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And God is against death and murder, and the chief priest knew it. Look at why, verse 11, it says why they did it. Because that by reason of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. All they had to do was hear the testimony of Lazarus and those that knew Lazarus. And he said, wow, something happened here. Somebody brought him up from the dead. Now, I had a dear person I loved very much. I believe he died not saved. And he had a problem saying no man can do what they say Jesus did. But let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't just a man.
Right.
Jesus was God in the flesh.
Amen.
He was a Savior planned before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
To save your soul.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And it's God. Jesus tells them back in John chapter, I think, 14, he that hath seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
You want to look at it? Yes, sir. Jesus is God incarnate in the flesh. Just, I think it was last Sunday, I read the scripture where the prophets of old, it was the spirit of Jesus in the prophets of old that did the predicting. That's a big name. You shouldn't take it lightly.
Amen.
Different people do. Many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Wow. I would have. I think I could have believed that. Because all these people knew that Lazarus was in that grave for 4 days. And Jesus come, and if Jesus had not specified Lazarus come forth, you don't know how many graves would have been opened. But he wasn't trying to do that. That's coming later. Well, I believe on Jesus. I believe he's the Savior of the world. I believe he's the greatest name that's ever been mouthed or sounded. I believe he's the only Savior of the world. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. You cannot get directly to God. You have to have a mediator. And if you don't have Jesus as your mediator, you don't have a mediator. Mary is not a mediator. Peter's not a mediator.
Right.
Jesus is the name.
That's right.
Jesus paid the debt.
Amen.
Jesus lived the righteous life. And Jesus resurrected from the grave.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ went to heaven and is coming back.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
God bless you.